This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to the show. It's Health and Living. I'm Meera Sivasothi. Today we're going to be discussing sudden cardiac arrests. I think a lot of us would have heard of this in the field of sports, and that seems to be in the limelight. You know, even when I was reading through, there was so much information about mortality from sports-related sudden cardiac arrest. But it is sudden death, actually. It's unexpected. It robs people of their loved ones without any warning, and it accounts for a large proportion of sudden natural deaths and does not spare even active and productive adults, if we can see on the football field, for an example. Consultant cardiologist and electrophysiologist Dr. Gary Lee from Thompson Hospital, Kota Damansara, joins me to sort of understand what basics are the basics of sudden cardiac death and what we can do to prevent it. Welcome to the show, Dr. Gary. How are you today?
Hi, welcome. Thanks a lot for the invite, Meera. It's nice to be here.
Yes.
I'm feeling good.
You are most welcome. Can I just ask you to make the differentiation? A lot of us think we use the word heart attack very loosely, but when you say a sudden cardiac arrest, is it the same as what we refer to as a heart attack?
Yeah. Well, there's always a misconception among publics and, of course, needless to mention, among even the medical fraternity itself, you know, about
Now I'm worried. Are you kidding me or what?
They are. You know, in fact, I have a lot of junior doctors who get a bit confused as well. And, of course, along the way, as they are trained and things, they become a bit clearer. And as you would have known, you know, these two entities basically means two different things altogether. Of course, they are interrelated. So when we talk about heart attack, basically, we're talking about the water piping systems of the heart. So we're basically talking about the blood vessels that supplies the heart with its oxygens and nutrients. So if something goes wrong with the piping systems itself, or something has got occlusion with the blood vessels of the heart, then you suffer a heart attack, right? But when you suffer a sudden cardiac arrest, it is actually basically talking about the electrical component of the heart, whereby, you know, I always say the heart is very much like a house. You have water piping system, you have the electrical circuits and wirings that runs across. Same thing with the heart. So when you have this electrical wiring problem that goes wrong for any reasons, for instance, it's just decided to stop itself from beating, or you go into a malignant fast rhythm, that's the time, you know, you may run a risk of developing a cardiac arrest. The heart goes into an electrical shutdown. So basically, there are two different mechanisms, which of course lead to similar effect, which is a sudden cardiac death itself.
Okay. When you say electricity, it's hard to imagine what electricity looks like in the heart. What does that look like? Is there wiring? Because when you say plumbing, we're talking about arteries, we're talking about blood vessels and things like that. But when you talk about electricity, what are you referring to?
Well, actually, basically, there's this very specialized wires and circuit that runs across the heart, but it's very much embedded into the muscles of the heart itself, which we can't see with naked eyes. Of course, we need specialized microscopic examinations or some specialized tools for us to be able to elicit, you know, the wirings and the circuits within the heart. But it's very much like the household's electrical wiring as well, which is very well embedded in the wall. Unless you hack the wall, otherwise you won't be able to see the wiring. It is very much similar as that nature as well.
Okay. And how does that get affected? How does the wiring get affected?
Well, there are many reasons across it, you know. For instance, one of the very common reasons we do see people have having heart rhythm problems or electrical issues of the heart basically refers to some wear and tear phenomenon. As you know, many parts of our heart actually goes through cycles of regeneration and degenerations. So you have cells that dies and cells that come back alive as well. But unfortunately for our heart, the electrical component of it, you know, it does go through a wear and tear phenomenon. It comes to a point of time where the heart beats too slow. It's not enough to sustain our daily activities. This is a time we run into problems with electrical problems of the heart. But there are also times where because of the blood vessel supply itself that is occluded in certain cases, it becomes problems and it starts to lead to degenerations of this specialized wiring within the hearts. And that also gives rise to heart problems as well. Of course, needless to say, there are many other reasons. For instance, sometimes people with inheritable disease or inborn disease, that also leads to abnormality of the electrical system within the heart. So there are many different factors. In fact, substance abuse is also one of the common cause which actually can lead into abnormal rhythm problem as well.
Could you explain that? How does that lead to a sudden cardiac arrest?
Well, basically, for instance, right, if you have issues with the electrical wiring of the heart, your heart is not going to be pacing adequately, for instance. So we are too extreme. One will be a slow heart rate and one will be a fast heart rate. So in terms of a slow heart rate, when the heart is not able to cope with the demand, it can just momentarily stop beating altogether. We call this a standstill. So it's basically like a household where you have an electrical blackout. So that's the time where blood doesn't circulate around the whole body, doesn't go to the brain or other crucial organs, laps down. Of course, the other extreme is when the electrical circuits goes into what we call a short circuit phenomenon. It just goes into a very fast rhythm where there's no time for the heart to relax so that bloods can come in and for the heart to pump so that bloods goes out of the heart. Mm-hmm. It just basically is just a bag of vibration muscles where basically bloods doesn't circulate. That again can cause people to collapse down and heart just cease to beat altogether.
Okay.
So both extremes actually, in terms of fast heart rate and slow heart rate, can lead to sudden cardiac arrest and death eventually.
Okay. So many reasons that can lead to a sudden cardiac arrest, including if you have blocked arteries and you have plumbing issues, can also cause a sudden cardiac arrest. So you've spoken quite a bit about the causes of a sudden cardiac arrest, but how common is that in Malaysia?
Well, unfortunately, in Malaysia, we do not have good data being collected to look at sudden cardiac arrest. Of course, we do have data looking into heart attack. You know, in fact, as of recent, most of our data over the past few years collected by the Department of Statistics, we're looking at about 15 to 70% of death actually is related to heart attack itself. But unfortunately, we do not dwell into data collections in terms of sudden cardiac arrest or a death of related to the heart because of electrical problems. But if you look at a lot of data that is being churned out by many of our universities as well, although these data does not reflect nationwide data, but we do see that it is probably as much or as common as what we are seeing in terms of ischemic heart disease or what we call heart attack. But ultimately, the only time is we fall short of collecting this sufficiently and sort of classify them into sudden cardiac arrest.
I suppose, as you're trying to collect this data, we also have to be helpful, right? and the only reason you would know if somebody passed from a sudden cardiac arrest is if a postmortem is done. Am I correct?
That's right.
You're right. And many people choose not to do a postmortem in this country. And so we really don't know what these numbers are.
Yeah, that's right. We will be there unless it's a weakness event. It's an in-hospital or weakness event where you have a very clear-cut abnormal recordings of the heart that leads to a sudden death. Well, then only you'll be able to do that. But if postmortems are not done, as you rightly pointed out, most of these deaths will be classified as natural death. And a lot of these natural death classifications within it actually possibly means it's a sudden cardiac arrest case.
Okay. See, a lot of people just say heart attack. Everything passed on because it was a heart attack, right? I mean, of course, the heart had to stop. It has to stop, right? So I'm always very confused. But anyway, why is this data so important? Why? How will it even make a difference?
Well, basically, the availability of this data will allow us to look into the real prevalence of this condition within our own country itself. And that will also allow us to set the policies or health policies pertaining to prevention of it. And the best prevention of sudden cardiac death is really an early detection. Unfortunately, in this country, we do not have a very strategized or very good strategy to look at all these early detections, because we simply have no idea, how prevalent is this. Of course, if you look across the board, of course, some of our professional society, we are trying to gather some of this data, giving us a bit of hint into a bit of peep into insights about what's this sudden cardiac death prevalence are. And that allows us to advise the ministry or the regulating authority on what will be the best strategy to pick up all this sudden cardiac death and, of course, implement prevention policies as measures as well.
What will be basic prevention policies that you feel we can put in place like now that we haven't done yet?
Well, I think the very important type of preventive measures is actually an early detection, because there's no way you'll be able to prevent a sudden cardiac death unless you know this person is at risk of getting a sudden cardiac death.
And how would we know that?
Yeah. So most of the times, if you go and do a medical screening or you go for health screening or you subscribe to any forms of screening packages, we will definitely do a very routine test like an ECG. An ECG, is always put it in this way, you know, it is really an electrical recording of the heart rhythm. So basically, sometimes from ECGs, we do pick up, you know, some abnormalities that will pinpoint to us that these persons are probably at risk of so-called sudden cardiac arrest. But of course, having said that, an ECG or an EKG itself also has its shortcoming. It's not accurate at all times. You may not see it apparently. Or in fact, a lot of times people who suffered sudden cardiac arrest may turn up to have a normal ECG before this as well. So these are the times, you know, your clinicians or your doctors will then decide whether you warrant a further forms of investigations. Just looking at the ECG, looking at family histories, and looking at, of course, whether you have any symptoms that may often than not being pushed aside as nothing significant, but it may be a pointer that you may be at risk of sudden cardiac death.
Okay, fantastic. We have younger and younger people having or experiencing a sudden cardiac arrest. What's actually going on there? And I want to delve a little bit more into the screening aspect of things. So we have a question from Dr. Asad. We'll come back after the break and continue the discussion on sudden cardiac arrest. If you have a question for us, you can either give us a call. The number is 7733 2900. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899 or just tweet us at BFM Radio. Good afternoon and welcome back. It's Health and Living. I'm Meera Sivasodhi. Dr. Gary Lee Chin Kiong, consultant cardiologist and electrophysiologist from Thompson Hospital, Kota Damansara, on the line with me. We're discussing sudden cardiac arrests. If you have a question for him, give us a call. It's 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. We left off just now, Dr. Gary, talking about policies in place, perhaps to prevent sudden cardiac arrest. You did say it is quite prevalent. It's just that you feel it's underreported because we don't have enough data and things like that, right? And it is important for us to have this data. Dr. Asad is asking, could you tell us which country has a good preventive policy in place for cardiac arrest, for an example?
Well, for instance, thanks Dr. Asad for that very interesting question. In fact, if you look at most of the understanding we have in terms of sudden cardiac arrest derive a lot of this data actually from the Western country, and one of which America has a very good sense of network and of course collections of data to allow us to peep into the understanding of its prevalence. If you were to look at even like alone in a year itself, you know, we do see that the prevalence of sudden cardiac arrest in America is about 300,000, one in 300,000 populations. So you do see that, you know, with that kind of set of data, they are able to implement a very good set of emergency services, as well as also in terms of applications of CPR and early resuscitation programs to be initiated when people, a lay person who happened to witness a sudden cardiac arrest, able to render a form of resuscitative procedure that will then increase the survival rate. Because we do know that if within the first minute of a sudden cardiac arrest, you do something to revive the patients, the survival will be almost up to 90%. But every minute delay, it reduces it by 10%, you see. So I would say America has a very good set of data for us to sort of tap on, and of course for us to emulate in a way in terms of the sudden cardiac death.
You mentioned about screening and ECG, EKG and all of that, but obviously it's not as accurate as we would like it to be. Is there anything that's a little bit more targeted or more indicative of a sudden cardiac arrest?
Yeah. Well, we do have a lot of tools that we use, you know, cardiologists at the place with a lot of specialized tools, in fact. One of which is very commonly we use is actually an exercise stress test. I'm sure many of us, our audience out there, have done an exercise stress test through the screening process that they have done. But this actually sometimes trigger off some abnormal rhythms, which happens on the treadmill itself. And this will then allow doctors or clinicians to be able to pick up this is a malignant type of fast rhythm, which requires a form of treatments to be given, or sometimes we do put in some form of implantable device to prevent sudden death as well. Of course, having said that, we also play around with tools like a Holter. Holter is basically like an ECG recording. The only difference is it actually records your heart continuously for any time from 24 hours, almost up to even 2 weeks. We even have devices, new devices, that allows prolonged durations of monitoring of a heart rhythm as well.
Okay.
And of course, sometimes we also do some imaging of the heart, like an echocardiogram, an ultrasound scan of the heart to look at the heart structure. It's like very akin to getting an engineer to look at your house, you know, looking at the structure, the foundations, the same concept as well.
Okay. We will come back. What about wearable devices? A lot of us do wear, all sorts of devices which monitor the heart rate. Is that accurate at all?
Well, to be honest, you know, nowadays, you know, having these kind of smart devices, it's really a blessing, both for the patients and for the doctors as well. Because back then, we used to have situations where patients always keep complaining about giddiness and complaining about palpitations. But by the time when they reach the hospital or even the clinics, you know, everything seems to resolve and we don't pick up anything from the ECG. So with these smart devices, in fact, a lot of these smart devices are actually medical-grade devices, which allow us to actually have an ECG recordings of the patients at the time of an event. And that event may just become very short-lived for a few seconds or even a few minutes. So that allows the doctors to have evidence to show what sort of abnormal rhythm they have and then render an appropriate diagnosis and treatment for the patient. So it's definitely a very useful tool. In fact, it allows a more awareness of patients towards their heart rhythm health as well.
Okay, so you want to look out for your heart rate, which is terribly low or very high. Am I correct?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. True. Mrs. Goh, on the line, you have a question for us. How are you today, Mrs. Goh?
Yes, hello. Hi, doctor. I would like find out,
hi,
people with UPW, are they more at risk of getting a cardiac arrest?
Okay, thank you very much, Mrs. Goh. UPW, Dr. Gary?
Okay. I think what she meant was WPW.
WPW, I apologize, WPW. Yes.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So WPW is actually a very unique condition whereby it's actually inborn. Basically, you're born with it. The thing is, our heart actually has one set of electrical circuit in the heart. It's just like our house, you know, we have one set of electrical wiring running across the whole house. But sometimes in this WPW situation, they do have an additional circuit within the heart, which renders them at risk of developing a short circuit that will then render them into a situation where they have very fast malignant rhythm. So yes, in certain cases of WPW, they are at risk of sudden cardiac death, but not all WPW will develop sudden cardiac death. So there are specific entity or specific criteria that we look at in the patient with WPW, and then we will decide whether these patients are at risk of a sudden cardiac death or not. If they are, sometimes we actually go in with certain procedures. We call this an electrophysiology study and ablative therapy to actually sort of treat them in that sense. You get rid of this additional circuit. Therefore, you know, they will no longer predispose themselves into a possibility of a fast rhythm that is malignant.
Okay, when you say get, you modify the circuit. So you're going into the walls of the heart to actually fix this?
Yes, correct. We're actually going within the heart chamber itself.
Okay.
So you're going to put in some specialized wires and all this into the heart chamber and localize where is this abnormal circuit and take it off.
Okay. Yep. So Dr. Asad has written back to say, I think we're talking about awareness rather than measures or methods to screen for cardiac arrest. Yeah, we screening policies, I suppose, are a little bit, they're there. But I think what you're talking about more is about the methods in which awareness about sudden cardiac arrest and more commonly the use of AEDs and the awareness of CPR, which is, you feel, a lot more important, do you think, Dr. Gary?
Yep, certainly. You know, if the general public be able to be trained or at least, you know, have a bit of knowledge on how to utilize these automated external defibrillators or to render resuscitative procedures like CPR, we definitely have a better survival rate when patients suffer a sudden cardiac arrest.
Okay.
Well, this is something important.
Earlier on, you spoke about substance abuse, and I'm very happy. Thank you, Muhammad Shani Abdullah, for this question. He's saying, sudden cardiac arrest, some substance abuse. How serious is the effect of smoking and secondhand exposure to tobacco smoke results in sudden cardiac arrest?
Well, if you look at tobacco or smoking itself, you know, we do know that it is one of the risk factors. In fact, we always call this a modifiable risk factors for heart disease. Now, something that you are not born with it, you probably can modify and lessen your risk in it. But we do know that smoking or tobacco itself does predispose to coronary artery disease, which is blood vessels occlusion of the heart. And blood vessel occlusion of the heart can lead to abnormal heart rhythm, a cardiac arrest, and eventually to sudden cardiac death. So definitely there's a huge implications that we always say, you know, whenever you have one of these risk factors, your predisposition to this kind of heart disease or even sudden cardiac death itself is anywhere around 10 to 15% itself. So if you modify that, you sort of get rid yourself from exposure to it, it will definitely reduce the risk.
Were you referring to tobacco consumption when you said substance abuse, or were you referring to other sorts of...
Tobacco is one of it. The other substance abuse that we're talking about, you know, dangerous drug, illicit drug usage, and even alcoholic usage, over excessive use, it also can cause a lot of heart condition. We call this cardiomyopathy. And when this cardiomyopathy sets in, it means basically the heart muscles goes into a lot of changes, microscopically or macroscopically, it can even trigger off this abnormal heart rhythm, which can be potentially dangerous as well.
Okay. How do we recognize someone's actually experiencing a heart cardiac arrest?
Well, usually most of the time, a sudden cardiac arrest, as the name implies, is very sudden.
Yeah.
Very unlike heart attack, you probably still lingers on with some chest pain. You probably can be able to tell people. You probably can be able to drive all your way to your hospitals as well. But when a sudden cardiac arrest happens, it is very sudden. Most of the time, people collapse down at the same point of time. Most of the time, they become unresponsive and loss of consciousness. And of course, for people who are attending to them, they will realize that patients are pulseless or probably very cold and things like that. So if you happen to experience a patient who just collapsed down and motionless, this is most likely a patient who has suffered a sudden cardiac arrest. Of course, there are many other reasons people do get fainting spells and things like that. But the first thing in the mind will always be a sudden cardiac arrest.
Okay, so bystander intervention is key sudden cardiac arrest, because it can happen anywhere, right?
True.
But bystander intervention, I mean, where do we... I mean, our knowledge of CPR in this country is dismal, right? A lot of us don't see the need to actually learn CPR, yeah. But some places do have automated external defibrillators, AEDs, as Dr. Assad spoke about just now. And some of us wouldn't even dare go near it because, you know, it's this what if I do something wrong kind of a thing, right?
Yeah,
you want to just share your thoughts on that and how we should have more AEDs all over the place and how it's so simple to actually use?
Yeah. Well, you know, if we look at back across 10 years ago, 20 years ago, decades ago, I would say the public knowledge about CPR would be much lacking. But nowadays, in fact, a lot of NGOs, like, you know, we do know a lot of medical NGOs actually doing terrific job. They actually been training a lot of publics. They've been doing a lot, of course, before the pandemic started, you know, they have been doing a lot of trainings in terms of CPR and things like that. So I think the awareness and, of course, the knowledge of CPR can be very much increased. We still have more rooms to improve on, but definitely a lot more works to do. But in terms of an EED, well, it is definitely something that the regulatory authority will be able to implement to have it at least at most populated areas of the public. Because at this juncture, AED actually is something that's very easy to use and it's actually very much guided. If you were to put on someone who has no knowledge of using an AED, you know, just putting on a patch on the chest itself based on the instruction, the guided instruction by the machine itself, someone can actually possibly able to render a defibrillating shock that helps patient to revert an abnormal rhythm to a normal heartbeat quite safely most of the time.
Okay. And in the West, this seems to be quite quite, you know, available everywhere and people seem to be doing it. Mortality from sports-related sudden cardiac arrests, I was reading, have decreased in France. They've had a lot of prevention efforts. Would you be aware of some of these efforts?
You mean in the sense of patients for sports patients?
That's right, yeah.
Yeah. In fact, if you look at the Western country and looking at the health models, right, they actually been implementing, you know, pre-sports screening. You know, a lot of their athletes actually goes through rigorous medical screenings before being put on a field to be participating in all these sports and either competitive sports or leisure sports itself. So this is definitely something that, you know, we are trying to work towards. And of course, a lot of us, the electrophysicians, are trying to push for that, for people to be screened, at least those who are in the competitive spots. Well, having said that, you know, resources and of course expertise and facilities available to do all this are definitely lacking, which we have to work towards it ultimately as we progress to a developed country.
Okay. So how do you know when you talk about bystander intervention, right? Mm-hmm. How would I know if somebody is having a sudden cardiac arrest and not a heart attack? And if I use the defibrillator, I mean, does it make a difference?
Well, that's a very interesting question, Mira. Thanks for that question. In fact, there's no true way for you to be able to tell whether this patient has suffered a heart attack purely or a sudden cardiac arrest. But the device, the AED, when you put on the patients, it will guide you and tell you whether it's just like as though you have a senior doctor beside you and telling you whether you should shock this patient or not.
Okay.
So this AED will tell you, is this a shockable rhythm or a non-shockable rhythm? Which means whether you should deliver a shock or whether you should not deliver a shock.
Okay. So just listen to the just listen to the AED. You won't go wrong. But you know what? You will be able to save a life if you do, in fact, go out of your way and attempt to use an AED. Right. You know, we just read about Danish footballer Christian Eriksen. I mean, he's had a implantable cardioverter defibrillator, which was something called called an ICD. It's almost like a pacemaker, a little different though.
Yeah.
It's a device that's been implanted in him, and he's going back to play. Dr. Gary, is that okay? I mean, I'm just thinking, is that good enough? Because these are professional players, right? They play at a very intense level.
Correct. That's true. Well, in fact, you know, just put it in that way, even if it's not in sportsmen, in general public, people who had a device implanted for them, either a pacemaker or an ICD, most of them actually life goes back to their near normal functional state. So this is really the aim of why electrophysiologists put in these kind of devices for patients, so that they go on with their life. Life goes on. Well, of course, for sportsmen, then things will be a bit different. And of course, if we come to a context of some people whose occupations involve public life, for instance, a pilot or public transport operator and things like that, then everything becomes a bit more different. But ultimately, you know, to be able, once an ICD is implanted, and for the doctor or treating physicians to certify that this person be able to go back to a certain level of sports, you know, that will go through a very rigorous forms of testing and screening, and of course to look at the progression of the conditions, and of course ultimately to look at the underlying cause and dictate whether this patient is going to suffer another form of cardiac arrest or not. But having said that, we do know that a lot of all this physical exertion do sometimes tick or trigger off abnormal heart rhythm. But for a patient who had an ICD, we're not worried of a sudden cardiac death anymore. Because should he or she develop that kind of abnormal heart rhythm, which requires a resuscitative, shockable delivery therapy, the ICD will be able to render that safely as well.
Okay. So does everybody who has a sudden cardiac arrest need an ICD?
Yes. If a patient survives a cardiac arrest, most often than not, they will end up with an ICD to prevent a recurrence of such event.
Okay.
Because that is the only proven life-saving method for them.
And in a very layperson's terms, an ICD that's implanted will, and when your heart rate, goes off tangent, what it does is it shocks the heart from inside.
Shocks the heart, correct. And it pays the heart too as well. So it has dual function.
Okay, but you stop lah.
Yeah.
Just stop playing and let the ICD do its job and sort of stabilize the thing. Wonderful. We'll come back and continue the discussion on how do you manage a patient. I mean, let's think of a mall. I have already done the AED. I've used it as a bystander, and then you throw the patient and get the patient to the hospital. What happens after? We'll come back and find out more up next. If you have a question, give us a call. 7733 2900. WhatsApp 0187898899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. One of the other things I want to come back and, you know, I have to ask you is, because everything I was reading, Dr. Gary, what came up was sports related sudden cardiac arrest. And the other thing that came up was sudden cardiac arrest during sexual intercourse. Now, it is rare, but people seem to be so interested in it. How dangerous is it? So we'll come back and find out. Up next on Healthy Living, BFM 89.9. Good afternoon and welcome back. It's Health and Living. I'm Meera Sivasodhi. Dr. Gary Lee, consultant cardiologist and electrophysiologist from Thompson Hospital, Kota Damansara, on the line with me. We're discussing sudden cardiac arrest. Very interesting conversation. Mm-hmm. If you have a question for us, call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, or tweet us at BFM Radio. Elvin Ho. Elvin, you have a question for us. How are you today?
Yes. Yeah. Good afternoon, doctor.
Go ahead.
Hi, Elvin. Hi.
Yeah, I'd like to check with you. I seen the doctor, and it seems that my heartbeat is low. It's between 40 plus to 55, I guess, or thereabouts.
Okay.
And
right.
And then recently, I did what you call angioplasty done on my heart.
All right. Okay.
But it was found that I had a blockage, and they did a stent for me. After that, my heartbeat, the rate is still low. I'm not too sure what could be the problem, and then let you know what is the possibility of having a cardiac arrest or something like this.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you, Elvin. Do you still need Elvin?
Can I hear from the...
Yes. Sorry? Thank you very much, Elvin. We'll get Dr. Gary to answer your question. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. Go ahead.
Right. Thanks, Elvin. Thanks for the questions. I hope you are doing well now, in fact, once you have. So, in fact, Elvin, what you had was really a coronary artery disease, a potentially heart attack situation. So your doctors has picked that up, you know, and they put in the stents for you. And then, you should be good with the stents and things like that. But I think Elvin's concern is with regards to the heart rhythm. His heart rate is a bit lowish, about 40 to 50 like this. But we do see a lot of times, you know, when people had heart rhythm that is low, we call this bradycardia. That's a medical term for this. Having blood vessels occlusion is definitely one of the commoner issues, you know, that causes this slow heart rate. But we also see that at times, it is also the inert electrical problems. You know, sometimes the damage has been done there. It cannot recover itself to the full extent. That is why you start to see that the heart rhythm doesn't recover. The heart rate still remains a bit slow. But having said that, you know, we do not jump in and say, oh, your heart rate is slow, we need to put in a pacemaker for you. Your doctors will usually look at you holistically and decide, you know, whether this heart rhythm, although it's slow, but if they were to stress you a bit, sometimes we put patients on a treadmill and ask them to run, the heart rate goes up, you know, able to cope with the demand of the bodies by picking up the heart rate. Well, in this kind of circumstances, usually then we are not worried about a sudden cardiac arrest, or we're not worried about a heart suddenly stop beating and things like that. So there are many ways of how we actually sort of re-stratify a person, not just only based on the actual rate itself, but several tools will help us to actually understand the response of your heart electrical system better.
Okay, what is a normal heart rhythm, Dr. Gary?
Well, I always say the heart rhythms, to say that is normal, we look at two aspects. One, we look at the rate, which is 60 to 100. But the second thing is we look at the patterns of it itself. So only the EKG or ECG will allow you to look at the pattern. Only when you visualize the heart rhythm from these two aspects, then only you can sort of conclusively say that this is a normal heart rhythm.
Okay, so if I am wearing a wearable device, anything less than 60 or anything more than 100?
Yeah, then you should be a bit concerned.
Okay.
And you should probably get it checked out. But there are still normal variants for many people out there as well.
Okay, but no harm, get it checked out to be on the safe side. I earlier spoke about being in the mall. We have used an AED and we have sort of got this patient stabilized and off to the hospital now. What happens when the patient arrives at the hospital?
So, of course, once patients are, you know, able to be revived out of hospitals, they brought in. But the first and foremost, of course, we do run a battery of tests, looking at the ECGs, that's for certainty, looking for clues of why patient collapsed down. And then, of course, then we'll render treatment based on the diagnosis being laid out. Sometimes people go for an angiograms. Sometimes people may need a temporary pacing wire. We do put in some specialized wire to temporarily make the heart beat at a respectable rate as well. Of course, sometimes if there are any abnormalities in terms of the body's electrolytes, we probably need to correct that and all this kind of thing. So the actual management, the definite management really depends on the underlying cause of why patient collapse. And of course, before they leave hospital, then we will also decide whether or not they need an ICD to prevent a recurrence of a sudden cardiac arrest.
Okay, but they can have another cardiac arrest in that time?
Yes, that's true. The risk is high, actually, okay, for a survivor of a cardiac arrest.
Okay. Dr. Asad did say something about every minute you delay, a shock of 10% of survival goes down.
All right.
And in 10 minutes, it's all over. Is that how fast it is?
Yeah, in fact, you know, if you were to look at the, it's not, I always say the heart is very forgiving in the sense that, you know, if something goes wrong with the heart and you do something quick enough within the first 3 minutes, you know, things are much better. But in fact, you know, if you look at 10 minutes delay, basically everything gets shut down. Definitely the brains will suffer tremendously. The brain relies very heavily on the oxygen supplies. And not to mention, by 10 minutes, most of the heart cells will also start to suffer tremendously, leading to an irreversible damage. So therefore, you know, to say that every delay of 1 minute leads to 10% reduction of survival is actually not very far-fetched. It's actually quite not very accurate.
Okay, all right then. And men seem to be more prone to sudden cardiac arrest. Why is that?
Well, if you look at the context of why people suffer sudden cardiac arrest, you know, as I mentioned earlier, sudden cardiac arrest can be due to an electrical problem or even a water piping issues of the heart. So we do see that people most of the time, in the sense that when they suffer this kind of sudden cardiac arrest, most of the contexts are actually due to coronary artery disease, blood vessels occlusion, and men tends to be more affected during this period of time. So that's why we tend to see more men getting sudden cardiac arrest.
Okay. Why do you think we seem to be seeing more professional athletes presenting with sudden cardiac arrest? Do you think it's the intensity at which they are playing at or performing at compared to many, many years ago? Or is it just that we've just been more aware of things now?
Well, that's a very interesting question, Mira. Thanks for asking that. In fact, I get asked this a lot. Well, basically, I think it basically boils down to two things. Once a sportsman suffers a cardiac arrest, it gets highlighted very much. It's being hyped up in the social media, of course, and the mainstream as well. So we do see this being highlighted. So the awareness becomes a bit more than a lay person. But of course, the second thing is, it's not so much of the intensity of their sports that they are in, but it's rather that most of them, if they are not being screened appropriately before they embark on the journey of this sports event, then when they have any forms of physical exertion, that itself becomes a triggering factor for them to develop abnormal rhythm that becomes potentially dangerous. So I would say, you know, it is not just being extremes in the sports. Even a person who is at risk of this abnormal heart rhythm, a very mild, moderate intensity physical exertion may even tip them into this abnormal rhythm, which is potentially dangerous as well.
Okay. And we don't know why that happened, though.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So we need to be aware that, first of all, we have wiring in our hearts, which a lot of us don't realise. Plumbing issues, those are your arteries and all of that getting clogged and having issues. Though that's not what we're talking about today. That can lead to a sudden cardiac arrest. However, electrical wiring and the system in place is as important in the heart as well. And a lot of us don't realise that. Now, as I was saying earlier, I was also reading quite a bit, and sexual intercourse and sudden cardiac arrest seems to be coming up a lot. Is that something we should even be worried about, Dr. Gary?
Well, if you look at the data overseas, right, of course, we don't have our nation's data.
Of course, we would never have that kind of data here. No.
You rightly pointed out that, you know, when we look at the overseas data, you know, the prevalence of this incidence of a sudden cardiac arrest during a sexual activity, right, it's actually very low. It's around 0.2 to 0.6%. It's less than 1%, you know. In fact, if you look at this, it's kind of very infrequent to be about. But it actually boils down to the same context, you know. If you are at risk of an abnormal heart rhythm, any forms of physical activity, it doesn't matter how intense it is, may tip you into this malignant abnormalities. So that's why you probably suffer sudden cardiac arrest. It's not so much just about being in these, you know, being involved in the sexual activity itself, but this is probably something people pick it up because it gets highlighted again in the news, you see.
Okay. Yeah. Let's move a little, and this is my last question, and it just came up through a question on vaccines. I mean, we hear of myocarditis a lot now in relation to the vaccine. Does that have anything to do with the electrical wiring in the heart?
Well, thanks for that. I think that question is very, very intelligent sort of question.
It came from a listener.
Okay,
well,
listener.
Yes.
Oh, okay. So kudos to our listener here. Well, basically, if you look at myocarditis, it means inflammation of the heart muscles. And where does the electrical wiring of the heart lies? It's within the muscles of the heart as well. You see, so any forms of heart muscles disease, it potentially causes problems with the abnormal heart rhythm as well. So because we do see people with myocarditis, even before the era of vaccinations for pandemic itself, in the olden days, you know, we have issues with myocarditis because of viral infection of many kinds. People do get abnormal rhythms after myocarditis. And all of these tends to affect younger population as well. But having said that, because they are young, the sheer fact that their hearts, most of them recovers well, and it goes back to normal heart functions at the very end of the day, once you sort out the underlying cause. So yes, we do see myocarditis translating to abnormal heart rhythm. But if you treat it early, then the potential risk of leading to long-term implications becomes very low down.
Okay. So it can be treated at the end of the day. Yeah. So you just need to pick out the symptoms and get yourself checked out. Would you have a message for us on sudden cardiac arrest?
Well, I would say the very same thing, you know, for us to be able to prevent sudden cardiac death, there's only two key points. Number one is awareness of it in the general public. The second thing is an early detection by your doctors or your clinicians. Then that will probably be the two important keys for us to reduce the risk of a sudden cardiac death in our nation.
Thank you very much for joining us today. Dr. Gary Lee, consultant cardiologist and electrophysiologist from Thompson Hospital, Kota Damansara, speaking to us about sudden cardiac arrests on Health and Living, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.